I wish people could see us.
I know. I'm really into the Sam Phillips La La La's now.
Yeah, it's truly evolved too.
Just, oh, for sure.
Well, because we had a different one, episode one. We had some of the more boring music from the season one DVD menu, and then we got different ones, and now we're really trying to amp it up here. Get the energy flowing.
We're going to have some remixes.
Yeah, we're going to have some dubstep versions of Carole King songs. Guys, it's Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're here to gab about all things Gilmore.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I know we promised last week that...
This keeps happening.
It's a bummer.
I'm starting to not... Should we just uninvite her? Like, this
Do you
is
think
not
it's us
fun.
Or it's her? Guys, it's her. We said that Alexis Bledel would be on the show this week.
And she told us she would be.
And yet again, well, do you want to take it, Demi, what she said?
Honestly, she just kind of bailed on us. She was just like, sorry, guys, I got tickets to Coldplay tonight. I said, where's Coldplay playing? She's like...
Because I don't even think they're on tour right now.
No, they're having a birthday party.
Yeah.
In they're like, New York.
Yeah.
She should have known about this ages ago. I don't know if she... We've had this planned for like 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. So, Alexis, if you're out there, we still love you, but...
I don't love Coldplay anymore.
Oh, you blame Coldplay?
I blame Chris Martin.
That's probably a good strategy. But instead of Alexis this week, we do have another guest. Should we get to that?
Yes, we should. Absolutely.
Should I get to the theme music to introduce her?
Do we have theme music?
We do.
Okay, terrific.
And here it is. Oh, no, it's not this one.
Oh, boy.
And here it is. You know her from the UCB. You know her as the editor-in-chief of mommyish.com. And you can check her out at Kate Spencer on Twitter. Guys, it's Kate Spencer!
Hi. I'm going to pop a cough drop.
Okay.
Something
on
about...
Mic. On mic.
On mic.
Okay?
Yeah, something about the sensitive late 90s alt pop makes me cough up
it
a
makes
lung.
You literally sick.
Makes me nauseous.
Oh, no. Kate, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank
this
you.
Is a very big deal for us.
I'm so excited to be here. You have no idea.
Yeah?
Yeah, because
oh my gosh.
This podcast has forced me to start watching Gilmore Girls.
Mm-hmm. Which you had never done before.
No.
So you got the call from us.
Yeah.
About a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Like a week ago, maybe.
We'll say a week.
Yeah. And you're a mother, mm-hmm. you're a woman.
I am. Those
That's
are two things.
Say,
yeah,
right?
those
yeah.
things go hand in hand.
Usually. I mean,
sometimes.
It's the 21st century, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
So you got the call. You've never seen Gilmore Girls.
No, I think that because I write and tweet a lot about pop culture, there's often an assumption that I've seen, and also I'm like I'm a feminist and I'm interested in women's things. So there's an assumption that I've seen certain TV shows like Buffy, Veronica Mars, and Gilmore Girls. I've not seen any of them. Veronica Mars I finally saw because my old boss bought me season one.
Did you like it?
I did like it, but I didn't freak out about it. I feel like for those three shows, I've never seen Felicity either.
That's probably skippable.
And I've never seen Dawson's. I don't know what I was doing during this time period, but it was not
watching. Did you just avoid everything
the CW.
On the WB?
Yeah.
Or the CW?
I was living in, it was the like my early 20s and I was living in New York. I don't even think we had TV.
You didn't even own a TV.
No, it was like horse and buggy time, guys. Mm. So I don't know what I was doing, but I haven't seen a lot of those shows. And I feel like I don't, watching them now, they don't have the same appeal as had I watched them 10 years
they
ago.
They don't
or
resonate.
15.
Right.
I don't think they hold up. Mm. But I don't know because I didn't watch them then. But people are so ecstatic about them, people who are fans. And then me watching them now, they kind of are just okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I felt about Veronica Mars, and that's how I'm feeling about Gilmore Girls.
And Veronica Mars wasn't that long ago, so it wasn't, like, totally dated. It was, like,
it's
10
like
years ago?
Early 2000, like, 2003, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, she definitely has, like, a spiky pixie
totally,
hairdo and,
yeah.
like, chunky
Season
shoes.
One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the kind of thing that I think it's weird that they are bringing it back in spades, because I feel like it's like to me, if they brought back Full House, like, it just wouldn't work.
They are bringing back Full House.
Oh, this is the worst way to announce it to me.
Did you know that? That's true. This is no bid zone.
Really?
No, they're really bringing back Full House.
Explain.
No, there's like, there was a thing. It was a couple weeks ago. Like, at least part of the cast is in, and they've like, they're talking, and they're like trying to close a deal on it.
By part of the cast, you mean everybody but the Olsen twins?
Yeah, like, and John Stamos, probably.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
He's got that,
but I think Dave Coulier is super into it.
Everyone who's not doing anything is like, please.
Yeah, please, God, please. But we skipped over one salient part that you said. You don't think Gilmore Girls holds up in your experience.
Okay, I've watched episode 1, 2, and 6.
Okay.
The good ones.
I skipped 3, 4, and 5 because we're covering 6 tonight.
That's true. We're covering 106.
Rory's birthday party.
Rory's birthday party.
So many comments.
Oh, man. Well, let's start off the discussion how we do every episode with a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture.
This is Pop Goes the Culture, where we take every pop culture reference in the show, stream together, and
just mush them.
Just mush them, mash them, mix them up like Skrillex. We're like the Skrillex of podcasts.
We're, I couldn't think. Gillix? Grill? Gilmore.
Gillix. Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Gillix works.
Gilmore, yeah. Gillix girls. All right, here we go. Pop Goes to Culture, episode 106, Rory's birthday parties.
Barbara Streisand will give her final concert.
You walk into Denny's before 5, you've got yourself a discount.
I'm shopping for Rory. You're shopping for your imaginary granddaughter, Barbara Hutton.
I think Edith Wharton would have been proud and busy taking notes.
Elvis and Jim Morrison are coming.
Oh, yes, and there was the t-shirt with the Farrah Fawcett face.
I have a bowl up on the mantle at home with the Virgin Mary, a glass of wine, and a dollar bill next to it.
Yeah, huh? That was a pretty Freaky Friday moment we had back there.
Lucy, I'm home!
But she did agree to make the string quartet learn like a virgin.
And Justin is just so dreamy. He can't marry Brittany. I'll just cry and cry and cry.
What are you drinking?
A Shirley Temple Black.
She has her Vulcan death grip on that one.
I got your good ship lollipop right here, mister.
You didn't build one of those machines like in The Fly, did you?
I wonder if the Waltons ever did this.
My daughter, Henny Youngman.
My daughter, Henny Youngman. Because the WB crowd can't get enough Henny Youngman shows.
A lot of these references, I feel like, are for people who grew up in the 60s.
Definitely.
Totally. I mean, we were talking about it a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, there's a reference to Peyton Place.
Yeah, and the Waltons.
Yeah.
Also, I don't even know who Barbara Hutton is.
I don't either. We should have looked it up.
Our phones work.
We can googs. We can get on the googs. How do you feel about the pop culture references in general? Because it's such a part of the show and such a language of the show.
Well, isn't it like, I forget the woman who created, I forget her name. But
Amy Sherman-Palladino.
Yeah, like, didn't she become really and the show become really known for how many pop culture references and just like it within the dialogue?
Totally.
And I feel like that kind of sets the groundwork for so many shows of the past 10 or 15 years.
To me, this is really like, it seems like proto Juno, like proto Diablo Cody.
I was just gonna say that. Mm-hmm.
Because it's super stylized. It's like, this isn't, it's emotionally resonant, but it's not at all how human beings talk. It sounds like a bunch of, you know, like well-written aliens or something.
But Alexis Bledel, I will say, is great on this show.
Really? Okay, because that's always a topic of discussion. Is she a good actress?
I was about to say, up until the last few episodes, I was like, I don't know. Because in the first 3 or so, she just kind of like makes a lot of faces and doesn't really, I don't know. She didn't deliver the lines very well on the first 2, but I think she's getting better.
She kind of reminds me of someone who I love, who is Kristen Stewart, who I feel like a lot of people... I know she's a controversial figure. I'm like a huge Kristen Stewart fan.
Apologist, would you say?
No. I truly believe in her talent.
Okay.
But similar delivery, kind of that like slightly withdrawn, like a little mumble Corey.
Yeah.
Totally.
I can see that.
A little sarcastic, snarky, but feels very real. Like Kristen Stewart always feels like a human to me on camera.
I guess that's true.
I like Kristen Stewart. I'm neither side of her. Like, I don't hate her as much as people do, but I also am not in love with her or anything. I think she's, like, I loved The Runaways. I have seen good things from her. I don't know if I see it in Alexis Bledel. I think I see where you're coming from, but I feel like there's a side of Kristen Stewart that's so much entrenched in not uncaring, but like a sort of aloof.
apathy.
Yeah.
Doesn't Alexis Bledel feel aloof on this? Like her care? Doesn't Rory feel aloof to you guys?
I think she just seems doe-eyed more than like,
I think that's it,
over it, or I don't give a shit.
Well, I mean, there's such a huge doe-eyed moment at the end of this episode.
100%. Oh, yeah. Woof. We'll get to that. Woof. Is that your
woof? That's my catchphrase. A friend of my friend has ingrained that in me, and now I say woof for everything.
Well, that's Home Alone, right? Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. Woof. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's true, right? I'm not totally honest. I haven't seen it in like 20 years.
That's a real Gilmore Guys pop culture reference. Mm,
you know, that's the kind of pop culture references you can expect from this show.
We should make a super cut of all the pop culture references we drop.
Of us, yeah. So if you haven't listened to the show before, I'm a super fan of the show. I grew up watching it.
Oh.
Demi is just getting into it and watching it all for the first time. So he's
Demi
just
and I
now
are on the same side of things.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You might
side.
Actually.
I kind of like it.
But do you think it holds up as someone who watched it growing up?
It's hard to say because it's like what part's nostalgia, what part isn't. But I do think I think it does, like, objectively, though. But how can I say objectively for sure?
Yeah.
But like all the emotional stuff in this episode with Emily and Lorelai, like I think all that, which to me is like the core of the show, even more so than Rory and Lorelai.
Emily's Lorelai's mom, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Who I think that actress is so amazing,
she's
Kelly
great.
Bishop.
She's so good.
She's so good. And
national
then I
treasure.
Googled her because I was like, why isn't this woman in everything? I mean, I understand. Listen, guys, there aren't a lot of roles for women over the age of 22, but she's amazing. And she was on Bunheads.
Yeah, she was recurring on Bunheads and kind of a similar role actually on that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Bunheads is going to be the show we review instead of season 7 of Gilmore Girls. That's good. That's true. I don't think we can do season 7. It's too far off the beaten path.
This is so much foreshadowing because I don't know anything about season 7, but you talked so much about how it's not.
No.
Is that the last season?
It's the last season, and it's similar to when Sorkin left The West Wing and it just wasn't the show anymore.
Oh, right. She left, right?
She and her husband left, and they wrote every episode, or they did like polish on everyone's scripts.
Man.
For every single script up until then, and then they got stretched too thin. Anyway, we'll
Demi,
get to
wait,
that later.
Have you spoiled the show for yourself? Like, have you gone? Because I went and kind of like looked at what happens.
I've spoiled a few things for myself, but also I've spoiled things for myself like way preemptively because this show used to be in the background of like everything I did because I had like a little sister and a mom. Yeah, like I just come
sleeping,
home from school.
Eating.
La,
exercise,
as I'm chewing cereal. But it's just, I know things that are going to happen just because I also know about Gilmore Girls. I know who's going to be together and what conflicts happen and like the relationships of Rory and Lorelai, but I apparently don't know everything, as Kevin has pointed out to me, so not really.
Yeah, don't assume. You know what that does?
No.
Makes you an idiot.
Oh,
that's the old phrase.
I don't want to do that.
Let's go ahead and do the fashion report. We did two different ones.
Okay.
We've been meaning to record jingles for all these segments, but we just haven't gotten around to it yet. Okay.
Fashion.
All right, the fashion report. Jackson, who is Suki's fruit supplier, who has the mango, what's it called? The mango, the weird hybrid fruit.
Manguava?
The mango. Sure.
Oh, yes, the guy who works for Melissa McCarthy in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yes. That probably was a more concise way of putting it.
Well, I don't know their names yet.
Yeah, but we can call her Melissa McCarthy. Sometimes she stops by on the podcast.
She's not stopping
well,
by today.
She just kind of...
I locked the... No. No, I locked the door specifically so she wouldn't show up.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess she's not coming by then. Sorry to disappoint everybody. We keep promising these guests and they're never going to come. But his outfit, overalls, tie-dye shirt, beanie hat.
Woodstock reject.
Yeah. It's a nightmare, right?
I love it. Actually,
you love it.
I can't tell if it's ironic or not, but I love, like, I can't tell if my love for it is ironic or not, but I saw it and I was like, yes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You just liked him, you were into it.
I viscerally, like, out loud went, yes. So,
Kate, are there any outfits you saw that you had a visceral reaction to as well?
Couple things. This is not an outfit, it's just a late 90s fashion choice, which is Melissa McCarthy's eyebrows are so thin and penciled in on the show. This is so like a nitpicky woman thing, but her eyebrows are super plucked. That's so late night. When did this show come out? 2000?
It came out 2000, yeah.
So it just reminds me of like senior year of high school when my eyebrows were plucked into overdrive. Just a weird thing I noticed. Okay, so Jared Padalecki.
Mm-hmm, Dean.
Dean.
Supernatural.
Okay. Yeah, the supernatural dude.
Yeah, he's quite supernatural, which is confusing because his brother on Supernatural.
Oh, is that Jensen Ackles?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, really?
But his name is Dean. He's not Dean. His brothers, it's crazy. Anyway, that's not that crazy.
I did not know there were brothers on Supernatural, another show I've never watched.
You can probably skip it. Yeah, I mean, they're on season like 40 now of that show. It's like season 11 or 12. Yeah.
It's too much.
Anyway.
Is it also on CW?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
His outfit. I can't handle that guy. So let me, this is my big sticking, okay, guys, can I just unload on you?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I love romance. I love romance.
Who doesn't? So
immediately, I know, you guys, totally into it.
We're all about it. We're all about
love.
So immediately in watching the pilot, I was like, oh, great. Like, Luke and Lorelai, I'm so into this. I am on board. I want to know what happens. I've already Googled and read, and I'm disappointed. But then...
Oh, you have spoiled it for yourself?
I spoil things for myself immediately. I love to spoil. I love to spoil.
Oh, no.
I live for spoiling things.
Really? The thrill of reading it beforehand is
I need to just know immediately.
Yeah.
Because I'm so curious. And I love shipping couples.
Of course, yeah.
I'm really into shipping. Mm-hmm. So I immediately was drawn to them.
Yeah.
But, and I know Milo Ventimiglia is on the show. Mm-hmm. And he's,
little Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, he's hot. And I know he's going to play like a rebel guy. So I just want to jump to that relationship. Dean, with his gelled Backstreet Boys hair and like a giant oversized
leather,
boxy leather jacket. Oh, and like Jenko jeans. Like, it's just the whole look, and I can't stand that guy's face. No offense to Jared Padalecki. He just does not do it for me.
Jared, if you're listening, we love you.
We love you. Come on the show.
There's some disagreement about your face.
He's a really nice guy, Jared Padalecki, from what I've experienced, but I can't get it. I can't get into it.
So, I know what you mean. And I think the show, just like any show, it kind of learns what the character is as it's going along and plays to the strengths of whatever the actor is and that type. And you see him becoming more of that square guy. Because at first, he's supposed to be the charmer. He's supposed to be like, you know, in the last episode, he's like swinging around the bus.
For me. He's never a charmer.
He doesn't. You can't stand him either.
No, from the very moment he comes on, it's just like, why is this doing it
but
for
he
you?
He means well.
His hair looks
know,
like.
I'm a Dean apologist.
His hair looks like Will Ferrell in Night at the Roxbury.
Yes.
And he dresses like a guy who just watched The Matrix for the first time. And it's like that constantly. It doesn't stop.
And he gave her a charm. He bought a charm and then put it on a leather band or something.
That's true. Well, no, he made it. I don't. Why am I getting so worked up?
He's Team Dean.
Currently. I mean, I'm more Team Dean than Team Jess. I don't even want to play.
I'm no team. Like at this. By the way, the bracelet, it looks like a quarter.
Thank you.
I thought it was a quarter.
It's a small medallion.
It looks like a quarter.
But
looks
like he found fashion a quarter. You don't see any charm in that at all. Like, it's a handmade gift.
I would if he was at all appealing in any way. But that character is just, I hate that character.
And he's introduced by like saying like, I just got so drawn to you. I saw like there was a fight and you weren't paying attention to the fight.
Yeah, wait, that's right. In the pilot, it's the pilot where we meet him where he's just like, I've been watching you for a long time.
There's so many like 2000s era shows where it's like, that's the charming guy and that's how they introduce themselves, but like, I was watching you, and it's like, ooh.
That I feel like is a result of American Beauty.
Definitely.
Like, it's all just that Wes Bentley character.
Mm, yeah.
Being
a
creep.
A camcorder now.
Here's the thing. Tristan is also a horrible character on the show. Yeah. Tristan, private school hunk.
And
Michael Murray.
His outfit when he gets to that party is, it's like if Paul Tompkins dressed in the dark. Just like, because like there's pinstripes with the ties all wrong. Oh, it was so awful. Oh my God. It was so bad.
Does he finally stop calling her Mary?
I think he did, but I think it might come back later. Spoiler.
Ugh. I hope he doesn't come back. I don't like him at all, and he's such a creep.
So far, we have a lot of disgust for this show and the characters in it.
He like straight up says in this episode, why are you fighting this? You're going to give in eventually. Why did they think it was...
Yeah, I know.
Proto-Blurred Lines, felt like.
He's definitely a Blurred Lines fan.
And that's the Fashion Report. Fashion. Oh,
I will say we didn't. I didn't even get to talk about Laura Ingraham's outfits on the show.
Oh, let's go back.
We got so caught up.
Okay. No. I just like remember. Hold on. I gotta crunch this cough drop. Oh, thank God. her outfits, because at the beginning of the show. Oh wait, shit. Am I getting this confused with episode 2?
Doesn't matter. We've covered them all by now.
So I am getting confused when she doesn't have her dry cleaning, so she can't wear her business clothes.
Oh, yeah,
so
she dresses like a southern whore.
Yes, that terrible dumb out. Her outfits.
I loved it.
Demi's into it.
That pink
I think she looks great in anything, though. So I can't give a biased opinion.
Lauren, if you're listening,
We love you. Come on the show.
Anyway, her outfits on the show, I actually think are the best.
They're the most palatable, but yeah. there's some train wrecks coming up.
Doesn't she wear a dress in this episode that is like very 60s? Like, I made a note that she did. I don't know.
Are you talking about the blue one with the little straps?
Yes. She looks like Rachel Lee Cook in Josie and the Pussycats.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, she came on the screen and I was like, oh my God, is she going to sing? No, she didn't. She doesn't. It's a very disappointing episode.
She doesn't sing until season 7.
She sing? Oh.
Yeah. Mm. But hey.
So it's not a bad good season. Singing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the show opens and the titles are off center again. Did you notice this?
I did. And it's like he mentioned in a previous episode, and I've been paying attention now, and I don't know why they change it.
They keep going back and forth. Sometimes they're centered, sometimes they're off.
They
off
just have
center.
An editor that's really upset. Or
yeah,
something.
He wants to take the show down, but he has limited power.
That is so weird that they are off center.
Well, they're like, doing it on purpose, so like to the left, to the right.
They're just figuring their shit out. They're
yeah,
creative.
You know?
Maybe it's symbolic, like when it's, like if you watch all the episodes where it's in, like left justified and watch it all together, it's a new story or something.
Mm, because, you know, Lorelai herself, she's a little off center. So that might be a part of it.
Oh, boy.
Right?
God, that's that definitely nice? It. That's gotta be it.
Oh, God, this show makes me crazy. I don't like the show.
Oh, no.
I really don't. I hate, like...
What do you?
I really
this
like
is interesting.
That you don't.
Yeah,
I really don't like it. I hate Lorelai's character. I hate that she's like the angry, quirky, like I'm gonna rebel against my waspy rich parents. Like in the pilot, they set up that she doesn't want to ask them for money and that they're these horrible people, but they're just like stuck up.
Yeah,
there's nothing really that bad about them, and they actually like are giving like they want to emotionally connect.
They do, and you see that a lot in this episode. Yeah,
yeah.
They're just speaking different languages. Yeah. Like Emily, that is an act of love for her to throw the party for Rory, and she's trying, but it's just like they just can't communicate. And Lorelai, I would argue, is just as stubborn as Emily, but just in a different way,
mm-hmm.
almost in a more dangerous way because she doesn't know it. Emily's kind of aware of it, even when she acts like super cold.
She's stubborn in a way that she thinks she knows better, and in a lot of ways, she kind of does. But I understand Lorelai's rebellion because it all stems from her having a child super early and her parents not really agreeing with how that proceeded, right?
Right.
Did they ever kind of address that a little bit in the show?
Yeah, I mean, they get into that. Definitely. They definitely did in 103, I believe. 102 and 103.
It was 103, actually. Yeah, that's the episode where it ends really sadly for her. But
that's right, yeah.
Not sadly. Like it just ends and like everyone walked away from Lorelai and she's just sitting at a table. It's not like...
Oh, that's sad. Drinking her coffee like she's always doing.
She's all about coffee. Ooh, isn't that good. So fun?
What is this, Twin Peaks?
I'm so proud that we have a show where it's two dudes who are into Gilmore Girls and the only female in the room is like, nope, not into
it. I want to like it so badly. I feel like there's something wrong with me that I
no,
don't.
No, not at all. No, so. There's plenty of people that don't like it.
And I see faults like, in this show. Like, I would be like crazy to be like, this show is perfect. It's great. It's definitely not outdated or anything.
Yeah,
like,
crazy. Where are some of the flaws you see in the show, even like in this episode?
Okay, in this episode, I made note that, first of all, I don't think Richard's given enough. And I understand that's because he's supposed to be like the lovable of the two, but...
But he's like oblivious most of the episode.
Until
he just comes
in
and is like, hey, Rory, here's some money.
He's a punchline, which is great. Again, this is a show that does very well with giving women the forefront and putting them in as like the punchlines. And it like in a way...
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I should appreciate that more.
Did you notice that there's not a single scene in this episode where two men talk to each other?
It's like the anti-Bechdel
it's the
test. Anti-
yeah, it's the reverse. We talked about it. It's the reverse Bechdel
is
test.
Is it sexist against men?
Good.
Hashtag not all men. Just kidding.
Boy.
No, won't get into that.
Okay.
Another thing I hate about the show is Chad Michael Murray, because I feel like they're keeping him in so much that he's going to turn into a genuine love interest, and I don't want that to happen. I'm fearing that will happen. Don't spoil it for me.
Well, I won't spoil anything, but One Tree Hill does premiere.
Oh, that's
very
true.
Soon after
Thank
the
God.
Show. Yeah. So he might not be around Stars Hollow forever.
There's also some line. They nail it with the writing sometimes, but there are some times where they just, like...
It's clunky.
It's very clunky. Like, in the first episode, that whole thing where it's like, what's she doing? I think she might be writing a burn book. Oh, it's the assignment. Like, that was so...
The girls at the window? Yeah.
That was... Oh, also, yeah, the thing, the passing the book when she goes to Chilton and just like passing it out through the window and them sitting in the bush. I hated that scene.
Oh, mm-hmm. I hate everything about Chilton.
I do too.
This is the thing like that makes me mad about there. Gilmore Girls. Is it's supposed to be really grounded in reality, but that private school was like a cartoon version of a private school.
Yeah.
I am from outside of Boston. I grew up in a really like waspy, affluent, preppy community.
Humble brag.
Yeah. A humble brag or humble shame, either way.
Humble shame. I like that better.
It was great, and it also was, you know.
So you identify a lot with that world.
I mean, I went to an all-girls private school for 7 years. And Massachusetts is full of like Groton and Milton and, you know, all these like really old-timey.
I guess Chilton's probably Milton.
And Chilton, Milton. I mean, or it's like, you know, Choate, Rosemary Hall, or one of these Connecticut prep schools. And they are insane and like as crazy as you imagine them. But this felt like
two steps too far.
It felt like if the Family Guy was making a private school. Do you know what I mean? Like
Well, what's funny is Daniel Palladino was a writer for Family Guy.
Whoa.
Yeah. So.
And there are a lot of references in
there's a lot of references. And this is true. Seth MacFarlane is in season 2.
Is he?
Of Gilmore Girls?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He guest stars in episode 19 or 20, I think.
Is he singing?
No.
He's not crooning?
No, but he does have such a good voice.
He does. That's a whole other podcast.
It is true.
It's really, it's like you don't want to admit it.
Is it a bummer? Like,
it is.
He like has an album where he just sings like Sinatra tunes.
Yeah, we talked to him.
It's freaking
good. Oh, yeah, we talked because I was actually at the recording of that for a part of it at Capitol. And they did it all live in the room. And they did it analog tape to tape. There was no Pro Tools or digital anything.
Wow, he's that good, huh?
I guess so. Well, he has that much money that he can't because it's way more expensive to do that. It kept breaking, so I'm sure they went over the budget. But yeah, he's in season 3. If you want to check that out later,
you said 2.
Down the huh?
Which one is it? 2 or 3?
I'm getting grilled here.
Yeah, get
grill more girls.
Straight.
Am I right?
We are killing
more
guys. Puns this episode.
Send us to the penitentiary. Okay, so Chilton. Oh, the one thing I didn't like about this episode. That happy birthday song that starts playing.
Happy birthday. Which is from 16 Candles.
Is it really?
Oh,
no.
I haven't seen 16 Candles.
Oh, boy. No. But you know what? I am significantly older than... That's my favorite movie of all time. 16 Candles. You guys have never seen 16 Candles?
There's
well,
so many movies.
This is a millennial podcast if I ever did see one.
If they reboot it, maybe I'll watch it.
Starring Ariana Grande.
Yeah, if there's a gritty reboot.
I would love that.
Reimagining... Iggy Azalea's in it.
But that song is, it's from 16 Candles.
What role does it play in the movie?
Oh, God, they danced. Did they just not get the rights?
Like, does the Happy Birthday song?
Happy Birthday to you. Don't they sing it?
Oh, I thought you were saying the Happy Birthday song is different. Oh,
there's this
soundtrack.
Oh,
there's
okay.
This that happy birthday. That's mm-hmm. what you're talking about,
yeah.
right?
Happy
yeah. And it's playing through so many scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, while they're having dialogue, it's just weirdly playing.
Yeah, I will say, if we're talking criticisms, which I guess we are this
episode. Yeah, I'm bringing it real down.
No, it's great, because we really, most of the episodes have been like, this scene happened, and I love this, and I love Emily. So this is good. It's good to have, like, a critical eye. Because if you love something, you love it enough to say when it's wrong.
Yes.
Right? So it goes with marriage, right, Kate? You're married.
Yeah.
All right.
You mean you say when your partner is wrong?
Yeah.
La 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 sure. la la la.
Personal.
Let's get personal.
No, yeah, it's true, guys. No, it is true. Yeah, as you were talking about this, I was like, can I ever admit if Kristen Stewart's ever made a bad decision or bad choice?
I can think of one.
I mean, I know. Aside from that one,
from the adultery.
Yeah. Aside from that thing, I was more thinking career choices, guys. I try to keep the personal out of things.
Oh, we try to shoehorn it in wherever we can.
But I wasn't even thinking of like something as serious as marriage. I'm such a terrible loser. But it is true. Yeah, marriage. You have to admit when you've made a bad decision.
You heard it here, folks. In marriage, you have to admit when you've made terrible decisions.
Yeah, like you have to admit you're wrong.
Guys.
Yeah. And love means never having to say what?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a witty response in reference to Carole King song, but I couldn't figure it out.
Oh, do you like this song? Do you like that theme song?
Oh, guys.
Uh-oh. Nope.
I don't like
it's
it.
It's a no. Oh, no.
I don't know what.
How are we going to end this episode?
This is going to throw a shoe into our
I think it's growing on me. Like, yeah. I kind of enjoy that moment where Carole King's voice comes on and then you're just floating above the New England town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the first second.
Yeah, the first second. No, that's soothing. And I like when they, I like that, I like Luke. I like everything about Luke.
Okay, yeah. Let's get into that.
I like Luke and his ice.
Don't.
What?
Yeah,
I don't. Okay, maybe it's... This is like the first episode that we see him in any dimension. Before this, it's just kind of like... I have an angry fact. Yeah. All right, hippie. Bye.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, again, like, this is the first time we see him with any dimension. I think he is likable here with the ice at the end. That was a nice moment where mm-hmm. he wasn't like, yeah, I got you ice, what of it, or anything. So the I think man. I can grow to like him, but at this point... He feels like Gunther on Friends. Like, he serves the coffee and, like, is just kind of sad and he just goes away.
I have not thought about Gunther.
I think about Gunther daily.
How do you think Gunther's doing now?
Oh, that actor.
He's probably doing great.
He probably hit a recurring role on Friends, right? That's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. That's a solid million in the bank.
Oh, yeah, I guess if he's SAG. Yeah. SAG, sorry. That's a little Hollywood insider. A
little Hollywood talk. Yeah. I'm talking shop tonight on Gilmore Guys.
But to me, it is so funny, and I wonder what your perspective on is on it, having only seen like three or four episodes. Three?
Just three.
One, two, and six. So how pretty egregiously, not egregiously, but pretty incredibly underwritten the males are on the show. There's not like a meaty man part
yet. I wouldn't say underwritten because it's not like, I don't think they should be more written. But I mean, that's just.
I do think one thing that you're kind of making me realize, which I'm hoping to appreciate more, is this really is about the show is about female relationships, mm-hmm. female mother daughter,
right.
which is great, and maybe more female friendship as it gets going. I can't quite tell.
I think
she and Paris had a moment.
Yes, exactly.
She did.
Yeah, this was great. I love this because this is the first time you saw Paris be vulnerable and be not a crazy psycho weirdo.
Yeah.
Two moments I love. There's that one at the college where she's like, hey, thanks for having me at the party or whatever she said.
It was a nice party.
Yeah, it was a nice party, which was just like a normal human, not a plastics, Mean Girls, Heather sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I really liked and to me is like, oh, this is definitely Paris, is that one shot that there is of her, where there's no dialogue, but it's her at the party, just kind of leaning up against the wall.
Tristan walks past.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's so sweet. And Liza Wheel? She's just
never
so good. Liza, come on the show and tell us how your name is.
And then
spelled.
You don't have to stay if you don't want. Just
pop in and then pop right out.
It's Wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Liza.
That moment made me so sad because I hate Tristan, and I don't. And if Paris is going to start becoming like nicer, I don't want her to have that as a reason for it. I don't want Tristan to be the thing breaking down.
You
the
sound
barriers.
Like a dad right now.
He's
not good enough for her.
He's not.
I know. When you kind of like realize that Paris likes Tristan, it's like, come on.
Here we go.
Just as
all the guys at Chilton, it has to be that ding dong.
That's true.
Do you think he's attractive on any objective level?
I know, but Chad Michael Murray is so disgusting to me that I can't.
Why?
Because like he married Sophia Bush and then like I'm pretty sure cheated on her and then started dating a 17-year-old who I think he's still with.
Oh, is that true? Oh,
this is like a story that's from like 2005, so I might be getting it wrong. But for some reason,
Hollywood gossip. He's
so smarmy looking, and I think his like personal. I know his personal life before I know him on Gilmore Girls, so I can't look
that
at him and be
it.
Like. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like going to a Woody Allen movie now.
Yeah.
Or watching Seventh Heaven.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So that's some recent talk. Yeah, that's very much a bummer.
I didn't mean to bring it down. I have no jokes
about
that. No,
it's the truth.
Very sad.
What I was going to... I have a weird predisposition to not like guys with three names, like Jonathan Taylor Thomas or Chad Michael Murray.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Wow,
bringing it down again.
Sorry.
So just the two, I guess. I think it's like 90s guys, because with those sort of names, it's like they always play a role that is not in any way appealing. They're just kind of, I don't want to say like eye candy, but just like they don't have any dimension. I don't think they do a very great job. And that's like a weird stereotype. I don't think it's true across the board. But
can you think of like a role where it's supposed to be that kind of guy, like a Tristan sort of type, but you are drawn to them, or you think they're doing a good job?
Whoever plays the guy in A Walk to Remember starts off like the Tristan kind of role, but sort of graduates into good.
Mandy Moore?
Who is the guy in I'm going to just...
I have no idea. I remember Mandy Moore because she nails it with the sad ending. Spoiler alert for the next 5 seconds, Mandy Moore gets diagnosed with leukemia and dies, so they get married. Spoiler alert over, but yeah, it's...
Is it a prequel to The Fault in Our Stars?
It is not.
It's not okay.
Shane West is that guy's name.
Shane West.
He just did something. I will say Ryan Felipe's character in Cruel Intentions is
I disagree.
You don't think he's like a dick who then kind of you begin to love?
I agree that he's a dick. I don't begin to love him at any point in the movie.
I creepily love that guy. Oh, Shane West, he's on Salem now. Yep, okay.
Salem.
Is that on Lifetime?
That is, I think, on like WGN.
Oh, better.
It's a step.
Even better. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is, I'm going to say it, gang, it's a product I actually use. I've been using it for 10 years now. I've made every single website I've made in the last decade using Squarespace because Squarespace actually has everything I need. If you want to start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint is your answer. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can do so much with Squarespace, like email campaigns for outreach. You can have analytics to find out who's visiting your website and why. You can have eShop e-commerce functionality. I used that when I was doing my little bake shop on there for a while. I stopped doing it, but man, the website I had for a little bit looked really good because I used Squarespace. And there's so much I didn't know about setting up my shop that they were able to answer for me over the chat and their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So right now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, let's talk about your social battery. What is it right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why is it at the level it's at? There's all these external factors that can make it the way it is. Maybe you're less social during certain seasons. Maybe you're experiencing a lack of boundaries with certain people that's making it more drained than it needs to be. Well, either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for 11 years now, and it has been vital and crucial for figuring out how to not overexert myself socially, to keep my battery at a good charge, to not keep it too drained when I'm dealing with all the people that I actually want to be dealing with, and not dealing with people in the way that I don't want to be, which is, of course, due to a lack of good boundaries or how to cope with people. And you learn how to do those things with therapy, because therapy gives you the tools to tune in to yourself and understand, oh, I need this. I don't need this. I need to communicate this. I need to say this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Gilmore Guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Gilmore Guys.
Oh,
Did you have any favorite lines in this episode?
I think I might have. I had a favorite line in the sense that I thought it was a weird line. Actually, no, it's the opposite of favorite line. I hated this line, which
okay,
is...
Okay, so let's go around the horn and do least favorite lines.
Rory walks into the room at Emily's party, and there are these two people just talking to each other, and they just look at her and go, "Who's that? I think it's her party." That was such a weird, it didn't seem like good writing. It didn't seem like anyone would have actually said that. I don't know.
It definitely does seem like a writer's idea
we gotta make it know that she's not the star here.
Even Mitzi, the woman that comes up to Lorelai and's like, "Oh, how's Christopher? Oh, is that bad? Should I not have said that?"
Yeah.
Like, that just seems so broad. And the show paints in broad strokes in characters that aren't at the core of it, I feel like.
That you just nailed it. It's like half so realistic and half cartoon. And that's where I'm like in the kind of floating in the middle.
Gotcha.
Which is why I love Babette and Maury so much, because they're very much cartoon, but they get real stories.
Yeah, it's that's weird. What's so funny is like the broad strokes you don't mind that much with the townies. Like
yeah.
Babette, Miss Patty, Kirk eventually.
Wait a second. Who's Babette and Maury? Is one of them the dance teacher?
Yeah, that's Miss Patty.
Miss Patty is
okay. I love that seeing that every episode, because it has like a Northern Exposure kind of vibe to
totally.
It.
Totally, yes, 100%.
Which I love. But
I've never seen a single episode.
I've seen
but you know what
episodes.
I but you
yeah, yeah, yeah,
I, you
totally.
Know, I don't know why I was watching that when I was like 9 years old, but that show's so
my
good.
My parents have like the entire series on DVD, which is like just two seasons.
No, that's no, it's so good. I'm gonna go back and rewatch
it's
that.
Good.
Should we start a podcast on that?
Northern Exposure.
Exposed.
Yeah. Northern Exposure.
No, Northern Exposure. Are you going to be a co-host?
Done.
That'd be amazing.
I need something to do.
You guys heard it first.
Yeah. How many children do you have now?
Just two.
Okay, so you need a podcast to fill the time.
Yeah, they could be on it.
Oh, that'd
please.
Be amazing.
Could we be the
if
first?
If we could like interview your children about Northern Exposure. Northern Exposure.
But I do think the townies, yes. I like, okay, I feel like I'm really interrupting here. Go
no,
on.
No, you're
no,
I was just
going
to say Babette is Sally Struthers.
Oh, yes.
And Maury is her husband that wears Matrix sunglasses and a ska hat. In every, he doesn't change clothes.
I know. That's who he is.
That's
man.
Why I love the that's townies. It. They're yeah. literally cartoon characters. They wear the same outfits.
They are the harpist, the angry harpist.
Yes.
I love
Drella.
Drella. What
family
kind
guys.
Of name is Drella? Well, she's a Family Guy person? Is
yeah.
that the mom?
She's Lois. Yes.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
A lot of connections. For some reason, it's a very strange
show,
Venn diagram.
Like, yeah.
Well, because they premiered around the same time, I guess. It was 99, 2000.
I feel like they definitely have opposite sort of demographics and goals.
I was in watching this, and I noticed that it premiered in 2000, which is the same year that Freaks and Geeks premiered. And I felt like a deep sadness that this stayed on for seven seasons. Freaks and Geeks didn't. Is that such a weird... Because to me, it has the same kind of like, it's very grounded. It's just about a community and these different characters who are all supposed to feel very real. And there's the high school element. And everyone loves Freaks and Geeks. It's not nothing new. But I was like, well, what would have happened if this had been on the WB? Because I was watching the Gilmore Girls and I was like, the pilot. And I was like, what? This is what stayed on for seven seasons?
Yeah.
God, I sound like such a negative Nancy about this show. I am really
Which
sorry.
I want you to be on every episode
I will,
of this
I'm going to keep
now.
Watching it. Yeah. I want to keep watching it, and I hope that I like it, because I'm enjoying it. It's
I kind of hope you get to season six, and you're just like, I still don't like it. And we keep having you on.
You know what?
Give it one
Demi,
more season.
I'm nervous because I spoiled some things for myself. And then I read a BuzzFeed community post about... a couple of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Road.
And it made me the post was like basically saying these characters kind of didn't get their due on the show, and then I was like, oh God, I can't watch this mm-hmm. for seven seasons.
Right.
This isn't going to end how I want.
Yeah, some people do kind of get the shaft as the show goes on.
I imagine that, especially if what I've heard about a certain romantic partner of Lorelai is true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, guys.
Yeah.
Her ex-husband.
Yeah.
Twist
Does he
ending.
Ever show up?
Oh, wait, I don't know. Oh.
Yeah, Twist Ending, season seven. I know. That's the Gas Leak season.
the Gas Leak.
We won't get into that.
Oh, man.
So, those were some of your least favorite lines. my favorite line, wait, did I even have it?
I made a mistake of not writing down my favorite line, but I know where it was. It was when they were talking about the pudding at the beginning.
See, I love that. To me, that's super emotionally... resonant. I don't know, because I feel like so many of the relationship, and maybe this informs it. I wonder if she'll listen to this. Anyway, I feel like there's a lot of dynamics in this show that mirror my own families, my mom with her mother as well, and I can see a lot of the Lorelai Emily dynamic in that. So things like the pudding and stuff, it's like, oh, I get that. It's like such a weird small gesture. It's like, it's pudding, who cares? But it means so much.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what was resonant to me. But probably my favorite line of the episode was at the end, and she gets in the car and she says, she's right, I don't know my daughter at all.
Oh, yeah, that made me sad.
That was such
bummer?
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's like that moment where, it's like the Forrest Gump moment where you realize he knows that he's slow. It's like that, just the self-awareness.
What a moment to be wasted on Richard. Just like a, I guess I am an autumn. Oh, what's wrong? Boy.
he doesn't have that much to do. It is funny watching again, like, man, he's just kind of there.
I still can't believe that he's credited as with special appearances by in the credits, because he's been in every episode.
He wasn't in 4.
He wasn't?
No. Neither Emily or Richard are in 4. And there's episodes they skip out on, but I think it's a contractual thing.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I don't know. I mean, he's not like hot shit, but I guess Edward Herman negotiated. She got the and he got special appearance by.
I do think one thing I do like about the show is that everyone is smart. Like, no one is, it didn't take her 3 seasons to have that moment. You know what I mean? It's like in the 6 episodes. Like, there's no withholding. Although, Luke, it's like, come on. They would, if that was real life, they would be definitely boning. They're like acting like 14-year-olds. Like, you can't tell that they both are into each other.
There's not a lot of boning on this show, truthfully.
Well, then why am I going to stick with it for 7 seasons?
It was season 5.
You know what's interesting is, this might be a little trivia. I forget the name of the organization, so I'm going to look it up right now. But the show was made and the script was written part as a... there's a few shows that were like this, but it was partly funded by this family organization that was like a family council for blah, 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 for like clean TV shows. And that's how part of the pilot was funded.
Wow, that's crazy.
So I got to look it up because I'm totally butchering it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, sorry.
Okay, we're moving on.
Something else.
Yeah.
No, we'll go back to it after you.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay. What...
Me? Go. Yeah. All right. It's all you.
We totally glossed over the opening stinger in which they both, like, they're very morbid and just, like, go around the room and choose something, the things that you want in the will.
Oh, yeah, and the teaser.
Yeah.
For the Friday night dinner.
That didn't go anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, I was like, oh, are they going to comment on whether or not they think they're going to die? And it'd be like, you're not going to die. No, it was just kind of a weird joke.
That was, who said that, Emily?
Yeah.
That was Emily, yeah.
She was like, put a post-it on it. You like that bowl?
See, you know what?
Yeah, see?
I kind of love that because my mom did that.
Really?
Kind of. When my mom got diagnosed with cancer and it was terminal. And so before she got really sick, she went through and put, like, labeled everything. And then and then she died, and we had to give it away to all her family. Like that to me is like see, this is the thing about the show. There are some real, they're like truisms in the characters, and this kind of like New Englandness that I really relate to, of just kind of this emotionless, I don't know, like pragmaticism.
Right.
That I love. Like although you're right, it didn't get called back. Although it's just like her character, but I loved that.
It was just kind of a gag, though. I don't know if.
Like, I know it wasn't like a sentimental moment, but I feel like that is very real. Like, that is how a lot of older women I know growing up are just kind of like that. This weird, like, hardened matter-of-factness.
Man.
Guys, did I just bring it down?
No, not at all.
Do
you like Emily Gilmore as a character?
Yes.
She's definitely our favorite. Yeah. She's my favorite, for sure. Is your Suki?
God, it's a tie for very different reasons.
Neck and neck.
I think Suki is just the most lovely, like, town character, and it feels very real to me in the sense that
Melissa,
like,
McCarthy.
Yeah, if we're doing favorite looks, because I know we did in one of the last episodes, my favorite look of this episode is when Emily comes into the kitchen and she says, oh, these hors d'oeuvres are amazing.
Yes.
Who made them? And Suki's right to her left, just like beaming so much. Like, her little face is just like so prideful, but also like respectful. And she's just like, she's the sweetest thing. So your introduction to McCarthy was probably through like Bridesmaids.
I knew she was on this show. Like, I had, you know her resume enough. But I think Bridesmaids is the first place I really saw her.
I think that's how it was for her. It was the same way for me. I didn't even know she was on the show. It was a very big surprise to see her in the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, I mean, I love her so much in this and in Bridesmaids. And it's so weird because after Bridesmaids, I hadn't seen anything with her that I was like, oh, it's the same as I felt about her in Bridesmaids. But here, it's like more than Bridesmaids. I love her. I love her as a very grounded, very...
Yes.
Like,
totally.
Naturally funny, not, like, played up in a physical comedy sort of way. Just a good townie. I don't know. It feels very real and very, like, if I knew that person, I would fall in love with them, you know?
Yeah.
Did you guys all grow up with townies? You seem to have a real love for townies.
It's weird. I didn't, but I mean,
maybe that's part. That's why we love it, is because it's not.
It's what we're missing.
Well, because we both grew up in Texas. We didn't know each other there. We met each other out here.
Yeah. Really? Because Texas is such a small state.
I feel know. Like we went to the same. We can all get to each other by horse. We went to University UT? Of Texas.
Maybe. Yeah.
Where in Texas are you guys from?
I'm from Dallas.
Okay.
And I'm originally from Houston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in I grew up in the suburbs where there wasn't a lot of local color. It was like a lot less interesting version of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Where everyone was obsessed with sports, but there wasn't as much.
Mine was the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from a town that is known for its heroin usage that died down just before I started living there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
I took out the bad dudes.
Dude, good for you.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Oh, I found that thing I was looking for. The pilot episode of Gilmore Girls received financial support from the Script Development Fund of the Family Friendly Programming Forum, which includes some of the nation's leading advertisers, making it one of the first network shows to reach the air with such funding.
That's really interesting.
It is, too. And I wonder if that influence, because it's a pretty, we said, not a lot of boning.
Is it a religious fund? Because I don't think they've leaned on any sort of religious topics, but usually funds like that are religious in some sense.
It couldn't be. Because there's no.
Right.
Like, there's no way. Sherman Palladino wouldn't take it, I'm sure. Where some of the other shows that received funding from them were Chuck, Ugly Betty, Friday Night Lights.
What?
Interesting.
8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter.
Aww. Chuck is a weird one because, like, the role of Sarah, who is... This is so weird to talk in depth about another show on this podcast.
Let's do it.
Okay, in Chuck, Yvonne Strahovski plays the lead female role, and she's, like, just a sex object. She has they try to give her death, but it's just like every episode ends with, it's like, all right, I'm fighting. Oh, I love you, Chuck. Why aren't we together? It's just very, like, it's very much
objectifying to women. It's the opposite of Gilmore Girls.
It is, but I mean, in the sense that it's weird that a fund like that would be put towards a show that places so much sex appeal in, like, sexual is her character in that show, I feel. So
I wonder if that had anything to do with Zach Levi, because I know he's a Christian guy.
He is.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. What's he doing now?
Like throwing a party at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was in that Thor. Thing.
He has like a huge Comic-Con party.
Yeah, I know it's your time, but you have to pay a lot of money to go
I definitely did not go.
Yeah.
But
I want to sneak in next year. I'm going to do it.
Hmm.
But I know that he did a show on Broadway. I don't know if it's still going.
Yeah.
And he was in Thor 2? One of the Thors.
I think he's the voice in Tangled.
That's true.
Never saw Tangled.
Prince in Tangled.
I didn't either.
It's pretty good.
There's one scene in this episode where I choked up and I don't know why. But it's the part where it's 4:03 and Lorelai crawls into bed.
Oh, yeah. That was such a lovely moment.
And There's one other scene like that I want to talk about, but it's all one take. It's a single take, but not in a showy way, like a Brian De Palma or like a West Wing sort of thing, where it's like, look how long we can run around with a camera. But it's just like super simple, and it's like a slow push in, and their dialogue is just so natural and lived in. And for a stylized show like this, that's like really hard to maintain that while still maintaining the style of the show. But it was just, I don't know, it's just a really sweet moment, and it was very affecting.
There's this when Rory is talking to Lorelai about how she's worried that Emily is mad at her, and she feels bad, and Laura's like, "Don't worry about it." Like, it just felt like a very real way of dealing with conflict. I loved that scene.
I think this episode has a lot of moments that feel real, like even the small things when they put the cake on the table and she has to kind of like edge it on, and like when they forget to blow out one candle, everyone's like, "Ooh, one more." It just feels like they all were like, "Oh, we know exactly what to do." And of course, everyone's like been to a birthday party and whatnot, but it didn't feel like rehearsed. Like, we need to reshoot this. You missed a candle.
Yeah.
And there was one moment in particular that I wrote down that I loved so much. Because it's when I think Emily asks her to give a speech, and the look on her face is so pained and real, which is what made me think, oh no, Alexis Bledel
she's
is
good.
Yeah,
especially her mortified
look.
She's good. Yeah, I'm in the pro
Alexis. Team Alexis.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if we want her to come on.
Don't you watch this and feel sad Alexis. That she's not working more right now? That was my immediate thought of like, this is a great actor.
Wasn't she going to be on some
show? She was on that pre-canceled show.
Us and Them. Yeah.
But yeah, I do think she's good. And I guess I am bummed out that she's not doing anything currently. She was on Mad Men very briefly, but it wasn't really much. But
Yeah, she's a good actress. I really like her on this show.
It was like the first thing she ever did, too.
I think she's
18 when she started?
I think 19.
I
remember looking that up.
Born in 1981.
Oh.
I definitely looked it up. And
she was born in 1981?
Yeah.
Oh, I was about
she
to
was
say.
She was a child of the 80s, just like me.
Yeah, you were probably born like 1989.
October 89.
So close.
Yeah.
One thing that, back to what I hated.
Let's get back to it.
I was mixed on this. The party that Lorelai throws for Rory, it's all adults.
Yeah.
And for some reason that drove me, one thing that drives me insane about this show, and I think it's more just because I can't relate to it, is when I was a teenager, and I was super close with my mom and I'm very close with my dad, but I still feel like this kind of like best friend relationship between Lorelai, like Rory is too much of an adult, like has like, and I feel like these kind of female leads, and I read a lot of young adult fiction and watch a lot of young adult movies. It's a lot of times the trope is like, oh, I'm like a wise beyond my years teen, and the parent is the child.
Yeah,
and so I think maybe I'm just kind of exhausted on that, and that's why this bothers me. But just the fact that like, when I was 16, like, I wasn't cool in any way, but I was still, like, for my birthday at Chi-Chi's with my friends. Guys, if you don't have Chi-Chi's, I guess you're from Texas, so you don't know what Massachusetts is.
We have Mr. Gaddy's.
Tex-Mex.
We had CC's.
Yeah, we had CC's. That's true.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah.
But I just was like, really, Rory has only one friend, and no, like, and she goes to a party full of adults for her birthday, and it's all like the old people from the it just to me was like,
that is a strange thing, because
it was weird.
As the show goes on, that doesn't really change that. I think we talked about it a little bit, but her friend, one of her best friends, is Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Is she even in this episode?
She is, because she makes the comments about how bad she used to be at ballet, and she's only at the party, I think.
No, is she even in that scene? I don't think so.
She definitely is. I remember
she is?
Her name.
She's in the
Oh, yes, you're right. Sorry, I'm an idiot.
She's at the party, the second birthday party.
Yes.
Yeah,
not the first one.
But other than Lane, she doesn't ever, outside of her boyfriend at the time, whoever it is,
she
never develops a friend group. It's like Lane.
It's a bummer.
Kind of Paris, spoiler alert, and whatever the boyfriend is. But there's not like her gang.
Yeah, and I wish that show. Like, to me, Rory should have, like, some strong female friendships besides her mom.
Right.
I don't know. Just as...
And the token Asian girl.
Right.
Who's really into ska.
Who's super into ska and Rancid. Yeah.
And XTC?
Yeah, and XTC. And Nico, as the show goes on.
She likes Nico?
Yeah, she's obsessed with Nico. There's
hundreds
of Nico references. That's true, as the show goes on.
Man.
She just gets more and more into Nico. So I love this episode.
Same.
I think it's the best one we've seen so far.
I was coming into this being like, it was all right, but no, I agree.
Just for the Lorelai Emily scenes, the scene of them in the mall, which is, again, just two shots.
The $12 bracelet,
which is just such a nice...
I honestly thought she was, like, messing with her. I thought, she's going to trick her into buying this terrible bracelet. Oh, but I don't...
Lorelai was pranking her on mom.
I did. And then she walks out with a dress and's like, I got her to buy a dress. I was like, this is some deep, long con.
Yeah, it's a long con.
But that was good. And the broken leg scene, of course.
That was heartbreaking.
That was.
And leg breaking.
Yeah.
Also, the fight...
Oh, that broken leg, that was really sad. Sorry, I'm just remembering that. That was sad. She didn't know.
Because the look on her face.
I think what especially killed me is her saying, if I were really sick, you would have known. Like it's there's the thing where it's like, oh, if I'm dying, I'll probably call you. But like, anything other than that, you don't need to...
I mean, it's crazy, but just consider the world where... This is the first time they've ever come to Stars Hollow outside of visiting when when she was like a baby.
Yeah.
When Rory was a baby, not Lorelai.
Okay, so where do they live? What's the name of their town?
They live...
Hartford?
It's Hartford.
Just in Hartford. That's where...
It's like 30 minutes or 45 minutes
and
away.
And that's where Chilton is?
Yeah, it's closer to the grandparents' house than it is to Stars Hollow.
Because Stars Hollow is like, take a left at the haystack.
Yeah. Take a right on the WB lot. It's near Stage 6.
Oh, man, now I'm getting confused between this and... No.
Are you talking about the shot with the mountains in the background?
No. I'm having trouble remembering if this is the episode No, it's not. Never mind. Sorry. We watched two episodes and we're discussing them out of order.
Mind F.
It is.
Every time.
This is the inception of podcasts.
So if you had to rate this episode, what would you give it?
Honestly, 9 out of 10.
Ooh.
Yeah, high rating. 9 out of 10 birthday cakes with Rory's face on them.
That is what I was going to do for a rating.
Really?
So that's a bummer for me.
Now you got to think.
I'll give it 5 out of 5 $12 bracelets.
Oh.
5 out of 5.
Yeah. I would say out of all the ones we've seen, just because that it just so affected me. It's not a perfect episode, but
right.
My enjoyment of it was so. And again, I got weirdly choked up during those scenes where they fought because it was just so raw. I don't know. There was that great line.
I give up. Oh, you give up? If I had a dollar for every time you gave up, then you could pay for this party, couldn't you?
Ooh.
Remember that one? Yeah. It was just like, Just those two actresses going at it. It's the best.
Hall of Fame.
That's the show at its best, yeah.
It really is.
Kate, how would you rate this episode?
I think I would rate this 6.5 out of 10 cups.
Okay.
Cups of coffee.
Cups of coffee. Ooh, classic. I love that rating system.
That's over half. I think we want her over.
I think, I think this is a success.
I can't tell you how bad I feel that I don't like this show.
I love that you don't like this show.
I don't. It's fine.
You have good reasons for it. It's not like.
I want to like it so badly. Mm-hmm. Like, and just thinking about it, like, I want to love a show where it's all like strong, interesting, well-written female characters.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that I don't enjoy it because I need to. I feel like I need to do my service to the womanhood.
And maybe you will go on.
And it's definitely not that aspect of the show that's bad, at least.
No, that
right?
part is great.
Yeah.
It's just honestly Jared Padalecki's hair.
I was just about to say.
It's his freaking hair.
That's the one thing keeping you from, oh boy, technical difficulties.
They might have not even heard that. You could just be talking shop over nothing.
I could have been, but I wasn't.
It is that hair and that trench coat?
Yeah.
What is he doing?
That leather trench coat.
Yeah.
Can I also, and I don't mean to be weird about this, but just I think for a show, especially on the WB, and especially when the demographic is so young, one, to have so many older characters on it, like Richard and Emily, and even like Babette, Miss Patty, and Maury.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool. And then two, just have so many women of different shapes and sizes on the show, I think is awesome. Because it's not.
It's pretty white, though.
It is very white. With the exception
really white.
Of Lane, who is kind of. I don't know. We talked about this before, but she's kind of stereotyped in the way that her relationship with her mom
Mrs.
has played
Kim.
Out. So
the
far.
Mom is definitely a cartoon-ish character.
Yeah. Although she gets super nuanced as the show goes on.
I can't wait.
I can't either.
Yeah, I've only seen her in the pilot.
Yeah.
So
she comes back in like episode 3 or 4, but she's just selling antiques with like a very.
It's just again,
heavy.
She gets mad and she's like $12 or whatever.
Yeah.
And just so they like make her go on the hayride with the kid,
with
the other
Korean doctor.
Kid.
Yeah.
But it's a white. I mean, it is Connecticut, which I think is like one of the whitest places.
It's very real.
There's America. No. There is. This is a spoiler, but I guess we should talk about this now. There's no black people on the show ever.
Ever.
Really?
After 7 seasons?
No, I mean, definitely not in the main cast, obviously.
Ugh. Is that like a thing that people have complained about? Like,
no.
Wow.
But like even recurring characters.
Wow.
Yeah, there's never a
single one. Now looking at the cast. I mean, it's sad, but is it strange? I feel like it's pretty symptomatic of like all mainstream TV, right?
Definitely. And
before Shonda Rhimes came out.
Before Shonda Lynn. If this were a Shonda Lynn show, there'd be less white people.
And more
there would be.
Sex.
There would be.
There'd be a lot more bones on it.
She wouldn't
true.
Take the parent council's money or whatever they're called.
Yeah, the Parent Teacher Association of America.
Paul Thomas Anderson? I skipped a step. PTA, and then Paul Thomas
Could you
Anderson.
Imagine if he directed an episode of Gilmore Girls?
Again, way more sex.
Wow, Kate got choked up at the very thought of that.
Sweating.
Oh,
wait,
good.
Wait, we started way back, I forget how we got to this conversation about.
I always do.
We talked about how cool it is that they have women of different shapes
women.
And sizes.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, so I
women.
Glossed over mm-hmm. that. Which, yes, that is true. And of the ages. Is interesting.
Yeah, there's a good range.
Yeah. And the women look like real human beings. Like the girls in high school look like real girls in high school mm-hmm. and not you know, weird versions of women.
Not like 25-year-olds playing 19.
No, Andrea Zuckerman's they're on not this show.
Yeah, exactly.
Britney in the Oops, I Did It Again video.
Yeah, yeah. Those Chilton skirts are too big. They're weird.
Yeah, they're not sexy at all, which is a big problem for the show.
Really big problem.
Just kidding. Well, it's about that time.
Is it?
We're just a little bit over an hour into the show.
First of all, I could sit here and talk about this for another 2 hours.
I know, I could too. But we have to... I got a few comments that were like, you could keep it shorter. You could keep it about the length of an episode.
You know what I say to those people?
What?
My best Hannibal voice.
Oh, do it.
Fuck those people.
Is that good? That's a... I think that's a really good Hannibal, dude.
I think it's great. And what's more, I don't care what those people say about anything. That's a bad Hannibal impression. I've done better. Anyway,
this is just us doing bad impressions and affirming how good they
are. Do you have a bad impression? Do you have a bad impression, Kate?
I don't do impressions or accents.
Kate.
Really? Yeah. Even as a performer?
No, no. I'm one of those improvisers who's always a veiled version of themselves on stage. Yeah. I like when my team would, everyone would be doing an Australian accent, I would sound Irish. It's like a horror.
Oh, no.
I'm from Boston and I can't really do a Boston accent. Like, I'm that pathetic. I can't, it's like I can hear it and I understand what things sound like, but then I can't put it in my head and make it come out of my mouth.
What was the name of the first improv team you were ever on? Not even the first Herald team, but just the first team.
Oh, the first improv team? Oh, my God. It was called Esto.
Esto.
Oh, God.
Who was on it? Anyone we would know?
Oh, who was on it? This guy, Benj? No, I don't think anyone you would know was on it. My first Herald team... Yeah, and then I was on a great team called the Porter Mason Project.
I like half of that name.
Which is a bunch of great New York improvisers, who many who are still around or still in Herald teams. The first like practice group team I was on was called Esto, and I honestly almost don't even remember who was on it. My friend Mia Stendahl, shout out to you.
Mia, we love you. Come on the show.
Come on the show, Mia.
Yeah, we'll have you. Why not? Yeah. You know what's funny is, just speaking of improvisers, I know for a fact that Mandzukas is super into Gilmore Girls.
For real? Really?
For real. Yeah, he talked about it at length at one of his last shows.
Mandzukas, if you're listening, we'll talk
you
about how this got made.
To be on this podcast.
I feel weird about that. I don't know. Because he's not on Twitter or anything, so it's
That's true.
I will ask him at Shut Up, I Hate You.
Is that true? Is he going to be there next Sunday?
He's doing the show next Sunday.
He was actually in the very first Shut Up, I Hate You. Yeah. I saw it with him and Shelby Farrow.
Oh, awesome. I was not at that show. I think I was sick or pregnant or something.
I was there for the grapefruit one last week.
Oh, God, you were at that one? Mm-hmm. That was so much fun.
Yeah, that was great.
That was insane.
So is there anything else you want to plug besides that show?
Oh, my God. No, I mean, yeah, if you're in LA and you want to come see Shut Up, I Hate You at the UCB Theater, we are there this month in October 19th at 9:30, and then we'll be there in November as well. I'm just trying to figure out the date and time in my head, but
probably
we're
the
there.
Third Sunday of the month.
Third Sunday of the month. We're there once a month. It's a panel pop culture show, and it always gets real weird.
It gets super weird. The third Sunday of next month is the 16th.
That sounds right.
Cool. Because this might come out after the 19th, actually. Yeah. Because we're trying to stockpile them. So
if you manage to hear this early, if you get a leak, come to this show Sunday.
Yeah, if you get a Kanye West like leak, come to the show. Might be fun.
That would be amazing.
Just as highly rated as Kanye.
Kate, thank you so much for being on the show.
When I got this email from you, I was like, well, I gotta watch Gilmore Girls now. And so now I've like headed down this road thanks to
you. Is your life better for it, or do you blame us?
I drive around playing that Carole King song all day long. It's
oh,
better.
I wish it was true.
I'm going to keep watching because I just want to get to Jess.
Yes. And you know who else is on the show? Little teaser, season 5, Carole King.
Really? I saw she makes an appearance.
She plays a character. She plays Sophie, I believe.
Do they get really meta with it? Does she like deliver some lines like...
She's like, I will fall. No, she doesn't say anything I was like that. Who wants to get on this next train with me? The B car, whatever. Anyway, let's end the show we usually do. We have it queued up. On the road,
feeling lonely and so cold.
Take it, Kate.
I don't know the words of this song yet, guys.
Flawless. Just beatbox over it.
Hold on, let me try to think.
On the next train, choo-choo. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to.
Oh, yeah.
You need me to be with you. I will follow. Oh, oh, oh. Where you lead. I will follow anywhere that she tells me to. If you need
here I come.
Some strong written women, yeah, I will follow.
Shapes and sizes, but one single race.
White people.
That's the worst way to end the show.